All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the special session of the governing body of the city of Lampasas. First item on tonight's agenda is discussion and possible action regarding continuing, renewing, or canceling the city of Lampasas emergency disaster declaration, Stay Home, Stay Safe, ordered March 23rd, 2020, and extended through April 6th, 2020.
Mayor and Council, for your consideration is an extension of the declaration that was originally approved March 23rd. As in the agenda language, that was extended from April 3rd to April 6th, so full council could consider the extension. A couple of things I'll point out to you. There is a date or a term through April 30th on the declaration. That is somewhat arbitrary. It coincides with Governor Abbott's executive order number 14. Council will have a regular scheduled meeting on April 27th that you could take action to modify or extend the order at that time if you so chose, or you could pick another date in terms of a term for this particular order. The some of the recitals have changed in this order from the one that you approved on the 23rd, but the body of the declaration remains the same and the intent remains the same. And Mayor and Council, I might defer to Chief Smith at this time to provide you just some additional background and updates regarding the COVID-19 disaster.
Prior to Chief Smith, real quick, I want to give the phone number for those that are joining us online and watching the meeting live stream. If you wish to call in and have questions, you can do so by calling 512-556-0332.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I want to bring you up to date as far as the numbers that we have today on total cases of COVID-19, not only in the United States of America, but also in the state of Texas. U.S. numbers, we have 1.9 million tests that have been given, 361,331 positive cases. One of the new numbers that they're starting to display for us now that we have access to is the amount of people that are hospitalized due to this. Prior to the past couple of days, we haven't been able to get this information. This is a big number that we've been asking for. Part of their problem with providing that is a lot of times these tests are given, people are diagnosed in a positive case with this, but they are told to go back home and just self-quarantine. So they didn't really have a good track of the amount of people that were in the hospitals up until last few days. But at this time, there's actually 45,168 people in the United States that are hospitalized due to the COVID-19. 10,680 deaths. Texas numbers, as of 8 o'clock last night, we've tested 85,357 people. We have 7,319 positive cases in the state of Texas. 1,153 cases that require hospitalization. We now have 157 counties that are reporting active cases. We have a total of deaths of 140 in the state of Texas. Most of us are probably aware that the county of Lampasas now has its second positive case. Take a look at the progression of this situation in Texas. On March 8th, we had 8 cases in the state of Texas. March 8th. March 15th, we had 56. On the 22nd, we had 334. A week ago, we had 2,552. And then yesterday, the numbers were 6,812. First death occurred on March 17th. On Tuesday, March 24th, we were at 9. On the 31st, we're at 41. And today, we're at 140. It's a rapidly progressing virus that's spreading out, and these numbers are not just going at a level playing field. They're increasing dramatically every week. Look through this past week. A week ago, we were at 2,877 cases in the state of Texas. As we said earlier, we're now at 7,319 cases in the state of Texas. So there's just some numbers as far as how fast this is growing. Keep in mind, we put in place the social distancing, the good hygiene, stuff like that. We're still in the upper part of this. Every day on the phone conferences, they're talking about the fact that we're still in the acceleration stage of this. We're not reached the peak yet. So we're still in the upward swing. And I think that if you look at these numbers, it'll give you good information as far as what you need to consider from this point forward. Y'all have any questions for me on these numbers or anything?
In addition to the sobering numbers you just presented, I think what we've heard, the projection models for our area show that our peak won't come until the end of April, first part of May. And everything that I'm being told from our health professionals is everything that we do right now will determine how high of a peak we actually have. And so while no, we have none in the city, we only have two in the county, it's what we're doing right now. It's what we've done the previous 2 weeks. We have to continue those efforts. We have to take things seriously. It's not an extended spring break. It's a responsibility to your neighbor to not only continue this order, but to adhere to the order once it's in place.
If I could add to that, today on the conference call, they did talk about several different models that they've been looking at. Dr. Hellerstad, who heads up Texas Health Human Services, he's always referring to these models, and he's not putting one model in front of the other because there's such a wide varied number as far as the total amount of deaths or the total amount of cases that they would have. But he did say today that in any model that you look at, all of them show that we are still in the upward swing and that we have not reached the full scale of this at this time. So he said that is the one consistent message in every model that they do have, is we're still in the acceleration stage.
I have a motion from council. Does Chief Bailey want to share anything with us?
I move that we keep the order in place till April 30th.
Do you have a date that you wish to attach to the order?
April 30th, it was suggested.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to extend the current order till April 30th. Any additional comments or questions? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Again, I'm going to share the phone number, 512-556-0332. Next item we'll have is discussion and possible action with regards to modifications to the City of Lampasas Declaration Q&A and the City of Lampasas What the Order Means document based on changes in orders, services, or fees, which may be considered under this agenda item as well.
Mayor and Council, precisely, we had supplemental documentation that we included when we published this declaration in March that we felt was very helpful in explaining certain particulars of the order, what you could and couldn't do specifically. To that end, there have been three items that staff has addressed in a memo to City Council that have come up over the last week or two. I'm going to highlight the three items within the memo, and then I'll ask Van Berry and Chief Smith and Chief Bailey to make comment on those items prior to council deliberation. But the action or no action on these three items will be incorporated in the frequently asked questions and the explanation of the order documents that we prepared. The first is a waiver of credit card fees and in-code processing fees for online payments. This item has been raised by council as well as a few members of the public. Yvonne Moreno isn't here this evening, but the impact is to the customers about 2% of the total if you pay with a credit card, regardless of if that's overline or at the citizens collection station or wherever you pay for service, and that is primarily to represent those fees that the city incurs with that processing. And then in-code is for online only payments. That's $1.25 per transaction, so that in-code can communicate to our general ledger program when those transactions are made. Just a couple of things that we want to reinforce that we have done during this time as well, as our drive-through has remained open. So, I know people, we want them to stay home, but if they do go out and conduct their business, we feel like that's a viable option for them. We have not, during this time, we will not cut off utilities. We are not assessing late penalties or door hanger penalties or fees. And we have extended, as you can see in Yvonne's notes to council, which are attached to the memo, we have extended plans. We're currently about Our over 30 is about 3.5%, which isn't extraordinary. Certainly, we recommend at this time that we continue to monitor account activities and postpone consideration of a contract amendment with ENCODE. The other two items is the golf course services, and the item has been raised to allow members only to play at the golf course. And I think our memo kind of speaks for itself, and I'll ask Van Berry to come up in just a second and provide his comments on that. And then guidance for the House of Worship. We've received a great cooperation as well as very, I wouldn't say strict, but very forward guidance from the Attorney General as well as the Governor regarding this item, and I think it's being managed reasonably well. I think it's staff's recommendation that we continue to follow the guidelines from the Attorney General under the direction of Chief Bailey and Chief Smith. But with that, Mayor and Council, I'd turn it over to first Van regarding the golf course, and then Chief Smith and Chief Bailey regarding the other.
Mayor and Council, as y'all know, we actually closed the golf course to everybody, members, public, on March 24th. As of today, that's 14 days. That's been brought up to possibly have it open to members only. Just to let y'all know, I mean, that y'all are the final decision makers on that, but I do have some concerns. I'll do whatever y'all say. But we do have 7 members from Burnett County, 7 members from Coryell County. I'm sorry, 7 members from Bell County, 10 members from Coryell County, and 10 members from Williamson County. Several of those members play every day, 5 days a week. So, there are some thoughts on things we can do. Yes, I want the golfers out there. There's nothing more I would love to see as the golfers out there. But with that being said, there's a lot of things. I've got clerks that run the pro shop. 2 of them are over 70, one's late 60s. My concerns are them with the public. Do we leave the pro shop open? How do we handle all of that? Do we rent carts out? There are some golf courses that are open. There are some golf courses that are closed. Some of the golf courses that are open, there a few of them don't have flag sticks out. They are open to members only. They're kind of off the beaten path to where not everybody sees that. My concern with where we are now, the public's going to see it. We're going to have public wanting to come and play. We're going to have to turn them down. But ultimately, like I said, that's y'all's decision. I'll do whatever y'all say.
Council, have any questions for Van?
That's it.
Until we have a motion to discuss amongst ourselves, I don't guess they have any specific questions for you.
You want a motion for discussion?
No, we've got one agenda item. We'll address all of these 3 points in one motion. Okay.
The next item I think that we're going to address is the thought from some of the local community churches as far as having parking lot services. I think that this was mainly done in response to some other services that were going on, not only across the state, but also across the nation. Gearing up for Easter Sunday. We were contacted by the Ministerial Alliance, the police chief and I. We've met with them. We met at First Baptist Church over here. We had 4 members of that group in attendance that day. 2 of them were planning on having the parking lot services. 2 of them were not planning on having the parking lot services. In the time that this first came up, until where we met with them, as the city manager said, the governor came out and he clarified some things on that. The attorney general of the state of Texas also clarified some things on that as far as the ability to go and do those things. They wanted to make sure with us, the Ministerial Alliance, that each one of them have main concerns for their congregation. And going on with what they've also talked about in some other meetings that we've had, the mental health and the mental attitude of the citizens of Land Passes is also first and foremost in their mind, the mental health and the spiritual health. When we met with them, we had them explain to us what it was that they were looking at doing. Chief Bailey and I came together and discussed with them, and they were really had a pretty open view as far as how they were going to accomplish this. They'd already planned out as far as where they were going to park all the people. They were not going to let them get out of their cars. They were not going to allow them to use the bathrooms or anything like that. They were going to keep them in their vehicles. And she and I spoke about it, and I've gone out and actually looked at the site of one place, and it all looks good to us. Our main concerns were vehicles running in a parking lot, making sure that they maintain a fire lane for access as far as our apparatus from the fire department, and then also what would there be as far as vehicles running and carbon monoxide. So we've addressed all the issues that we can come up with on this, and I think that we're good to let them go ahead and move forward with doing this. I don't see anything of an opposition as far as from a fire department point of view and them assembling and getting together for that, as long as they're staying in their vehicles and not shaking hands and all that with one another. So,
I have a question.
Yes.
What specific churches?
Is it Grace Community that's out by the high school? First Baptist Church? Those are the only two that I know of that are planning on having a actual Sunday morning gathering in the parking lot.
Council, have any questions for Chief Smith?
Their idea is to like preach from a pulpit. Is there a reason that their car should remain on during this?
No, we made that clear. The cars cannot be running during this time. Okay. We don't want any vehicles idling for a long time. The excess heat from that, plus we also don't want the carbon monoxide going on. There was some concern with the parking and being too close. We've actually laid it out in the parking how they would address their parking and where they'd be coming from. And in all honesty, when you look at it, we have more control over that situation than what we have at Tractor Supply or at HEB or at Walmart or anything like that. I mean, we've got them lined out as far as how they're to park them and be so far apart, and it doesn't involve pulling in and making sure you can't touch. I mean, we've got them lined out in a certain way that it'll be all within guidelines.
If we were to agree to this and other churches wanted to get on board, do we have a certain guideline that they, you know, that would be set before they were allowed to do that?
We can get together guidelines as far as just making sure, like what we've already talked about, okay, certain things that they need to come by. During this time, the fire marshal has not been doing any type of inspections other than immediate life and fire safety inspections or anything like that. Also, new construction where he's having to go so that they can get their certificate of occupancy. If we need to provide a site visit to them, either the fire marshal or myself would be able to do that, and we would not have any fees attached with that or anything like that. I mean, it's something we can do. And again, everybody that we've spoken to so far has been very gracious and very open to just, hey, what you will allow us to do.
So, I have a question. Did they just want to do this because it's Easter? So if it was any other Sunday, they would continue to be doing what they're doing, because it says that,
wow,
if, you know, from the Attorney General, it says that if they can do online services, they're encouraged to do online services, and both of those churches are doing online services. So this is a little disheartening.
I don't believe that this is an Easter-only request. As far as I understand, they've actually even implemented this already in an existing church.
I know that First Baptist Church, correct, has already done it this past Sunday. As far as New Covenant, I'm not sure if this is just for Easter. I think Easter is going to be the first time that they're going to do it. But as far as them getting together, I don't know how far they intend to take that.
Any additional questions? No? Thank you, Chief.
Mayor,
Council, I've had some additional conversations with some of the churches. Many prefer to go ahead and do the online. However, they would like to have that option to have the drive up. Because of the spiritual and the mental aspect of it, they feel that there are some of their congregation that need to have that physical, be able to see the people there, be able to see the congregation. They are just as concerned as we are in regards to the safety of their congregation and the health of their congregation as well. Talked to, like I say, several other churches that are going to stay with the online rather than trying to do the drive-up church. They prefer that as it's a lot easier for them to do it that way if they can, and then have a one-on-one if they need to with someone.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Council, I just want to also point out in the memo that we did run this by the county health official, as well as the city health advisor, as well as J.C. Brown, the city attorney. And one thing that J.C. did point out is that the AG says, you know, not only if a church is doing it, but if a member, a church or a member of a congregation cannot access based on financial or technological capability, the accommodation should be provided. So that was J.C., and again, I think as Dr. Hay pointed out, the county health official, it is a natural reaction, natural instinct to want to go see and shake hands and pass the peace and do all of those normal rituals that are unfortunately lacking in today's crisis. And it's incumbent upon Chief Smith and Chief Bailey working with that clergy to ensure that accommodation can be made under the public safety directives.
Okay, Council, at this time I will entertain a motion but to be sure your motion clarifies what you wish to do in all three situations, the credit card fees, the golf course, and the guidance for houses of worship.
I make a motion for some discussion before we do that.
You have to make a motion to open it up for discussion.
I make a motion to open it up for discussion.
Make a motion on the items on the agenda.
Okay, my motion on the fees, I think we should waive them. I think the city needs to do that. Motion on the golf course, I think it needs to remain closed. And motion on the churches, I am against the meeting and parking lots. I think it needs to remain the way it is.
Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
It's open for discussion.
So my rationale is on the first part with the fees, I think that even though the city is only recuperating what we spend, part of doing business is credit card fees. And I know that with us, in my business, we have credit cards, we accept credit cards, but we don't turn the fees around to the people. We consider that part of a business expense. And right now, you know, a $5 fee to someone that's already struggling and trying to stay home is a gallon of milk and a carton of eggs. And I think temporarily, since other cities have done it, as it said in our thing, and that we could temporarily make this accommodation for our citizens. That's my rationale behind the first part.
We do have two other options with that, just to, you know, they can either drive it, and if they don't want to get out of their house, they do have the ability to be able to mail it to that, because they are, you know, because we are not charging late fees or anything, you know, they're able to at least put it in the mail. That way they're not having to leave their home. So it doesn't have to be the option of a credit card.
Yeah, online payments are not a requirement. It is just a convenience option.
That's exactly right.
It is a convenience option, but right now, that's a convenience that I think that the couple of people that are doing it, it's not that much money to the city. And maybe those people don't have a checkbook. Maybe they can't mail it in. Maybe they are trying to follow our guidelines and stay home and do as much as they can from the house.
Well, again, a lot of people will be using their credit card. They will be piling up credit card debt because they can't pay with a checking account. So I agree with you, Kathy, that the fee should be waived, I believe, until this is settled one way or another. But a lot of people will be using their credit cards just to pay their bills.
Which I understand all of that also, but I kind of see it the other way that I made payments to Verizon this week, and it's a $5 charge. Now, I own a business also and take credit cards, and it is a cost of doing business. I understand that. But there is a limit at the cost of doing business. If I took in the amount of money that the city did on and ate those charges, it would be considerably different. So I think that these are not our charges. If it was our charge, absolutely, I think we waive it right away. But all we're doing is costing the taxpayers that money again, to the tune of how many thousands a month would that equate to?
Just rough numbers based on Yvonne's notes, about $5,200 in credit card fees and about $500 in ENCODE fees. That was just rough extrapolation of the ENCODE fees because I don't know the number of transactions.
I ask council to keep in mind, we've not always charged those fees. This council decided to assess those charges based on the amount of money that it was costing the city. We did consider that substantial. We did consider that something we needed to take into consideration when we started charging the fees to begin with.
But we weren't under these conditions at that point either.
Right, but we're also not requiring that. If we go to requiring you can only pay your bill online from here on out, then I think we need to take a look at looking at the ENCODE charges and possibly the fees. If there's anything out there that we can do where they won't charge us those, yes. But I don't think that we waive the fees and cost the taxpayers $6,000 a month.
Agree.
With the motion currently in place, does anyone wish to discuss her portion of the motion to keep the golf course closed? Does anyone wish to?
I agree completely.
I agree with that.
Closed.
Honestly, I agree. About 2 weeks ago, I would have probably said maybe it's okay, but golf courses across the board are closing, and with so many different members and us only being able to open it to members, I don't think that that's fair, and I think that we're opening ourselves up, so I agree.
I do understand we're going to upset quite a few members and in turn, probably their spouses who would love for them to have a reason to be out of their house. That said, I don't feel comfortable putting you and your staff into a situation of exposure when we've gone to great efforts to protect the rest of staff. In turn, the golf course is part of the business of the city, and we are currently have businesses that we've deemed non-essential and closed them down. How do we look at those individuals and not allow them to operate and then in turn, exactly, turn around and run a non-essential business ourselves?
If we need to look at definitely whatever prorate for some of those members, whatever it is that we need to do, or longer time, or however we need to work that out, obviously we want to make sure that everybody gets their time extended, or however you do it.
Whether that be, prorate this current 6-month period and give them a credit if they choose to re-up at the next 6 months. But I would like us to communicate that to members pretty quickly, what it is we're going to do and how much that's going to be, and if it's, we'll go month by month until situation is resolved, and for each month that we're closed or a portion of the month, that credit will come to them, whichever way they choose. If they don't want a credit, we obviously need to refund their money, but if they'd like a credit to have their next membership dues reduced, I think that's an option we should communicate to them as well. And the last part of her motion was in with regards to the guidance for the house of worship.
I think, I think that whatever you believe in any denomination of any kind is probably very important, especially in these times. And I think that if people want to congregate in their cars and it's done properly up to the fire chiefs and our fire marshals' expectations and everything's safe, then I think that's a good thing for people to get out, for maybe even if they don't have to get dressed up, just in their pajamas and go and watch a sermon to a lot of people that go to sermons every single week and then can't online's just not the same for them. They might not be feeling that they're getting fulfilled or have their connection in any way. And if that's something we can do for them to feel that and give them a little bit of sanity on Sunday, then I think we should do that.
I agree with that.
I disagree, because I think that we're opening a can of worms, because it started out with there's two churches that want to. Then it's three, then it's four. So let's look at the logistics. So let's say 10 churches decide to do this, and each of those 10 churches have 100 people that come out to the parking lot and follow the rules, if they follow the rules. As Dr. Hayes said, you know, they possibly couldn't. Same thing with Dr. Kane. Then you have 1,000 more people that have come to town on a Sunday that are going to be leaving at about the same time and that are going to probably then go buy supplies. So I think we're setting ourselves up, because we've done so good to this point. I think that's a step backwards, especially because we're on the rise and we're fixing to hit the peak. And I think that if it wasn't Easter Sunday, I don't think it would be that big a deal.
I think they've been talking about this for weeks.
I think it's a really big deal for people that are religious and do go, you know, like they were stating earlier, mental health. I mean, I can think of a number of members in my congregation that, I mean, that means a lot to them. And
what
watching
are the ages
it online isn't the same. I mean, you get a little bit out of it,
I think that you're setting people up to potentially be more sick and spread the disease.
Because in their cars.
You're bringing out people that are elderly, because most churches have an elderly population. Right. The governor made a decision opposite of what Dr. Fauci and the Surgeon General have said. They said stay home. They said don't do the car services. There are so many churches that have ignored this because it's their right to ignore it. And their congregations are getting sick. And it's not just the congregations that are getting sick. They're spreading that to other people in the community.
Chief.
Mayor, Council, I'd like to give you one other thing to consider. Think of a small church that does not have online. This would give another barrier if they followed all the rules, all the procedures to stay in their vehicles, to keep that distancing. Also with that, I just want to give you that also to think about with it.
I think it's also important that we keep in mind that every member of every congregation may not necessarily have the access to the online service, even
if
the church provides it. And while it's not an obligation, or it's not a requirement for you to be able to stream live services, it's also not a requirement that you show up for parking lot service. I mean, that's a personal decision. And while I respect that you don't find that as a necessity or as essential for you or yours, I'm not going to impose.
I didn't say that. What I said is that they are getting services. I think that spirituality.
What if they're not?
But what if they're not? What if they're not?
So what if they technically?
What if the preacher contacted some people one-on-one and went house to house from far away?
Are they not maintaining the same distance?
One-on-one. That's not bringing 1,000 people to the same town at the same time.
I want to commend the churches for being considerate of not only we want to stay in accordance to the rules and regulations put forth in the order, but they're also generally concerned for their congregation, not just health and safety, but also mental health and spiritual health. And that's why they've approached it from this regard. I think our local businesses have the same responsibility for their patrons and their customers. And I do have a growing level of frustration with some that I don't think that are taking that necessarily as serious as they should. And that's some effort I'm going to put into making sure that we address that. But if there's an increase in the volume of people that come to town on Sunday, that come in for the reasons that they come in for, that also falls on our local businesses to be ready to handle that flow as well.
Well, if the numbers spike, remember that.
Well, and they are going to spike regardless of what we do.
I don't think that them coming to church in their cars on vehicles is going to cause that spike. I mean, it's going to spike regardless from all the information that we've been receiving.
Council, have any more comments?
I'm good.
So we've addressed all three in discussion. The current motion that we have in place, and with a second, is a motion to waive the credit card fees, a motion to keep the golf course closed, and a motion not to allow, the House of Worship, the Houses of Worship to conduct parking lot services. So that is the motion in place. All in favor for that motion as read, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Nay. Nay.
That is two to four. And if you couldn't tell who that was, the two in favor were Ms. Monroe and Ms. Keeney. At this time, I can entertain another motion if a council member wishes to make one.
I'm going to make a motion not to waive the credit card fees. I'll make a motion to keep the golf course closed, and I will make the motion to allow the guidance of worship in parking lots.
Second.
Okay, I have a second to the motion to not waive credit card fees, keep the golf course closed, and allow for houses of worship to offer parking lot services. That's open for discussion as read. Does council have any comments again? I think it's important, if we consider that this motion passes, that we make an extended effort to communicate to our houses of worship the expectations. If policing of those situations is available, I'd also ask that we do that. Not in necessarily in order to be the bad guy, but to help make sure everybody's following the rules. That could end up potentially being a lot of congregation members for a small staff of the church that's present to be able to monitor that situation. If we can assist them in that, I think we should.
And each, as far as I know, each congregation has some type of, set either security. I know our congregation has like a security team in place, and I would believe that most of them do, so they could also, speak maybe to the security team of each church and maybe get them to, help follow that rule.
Any additional comments? I do have a motion and a second. Again, the motion is to not waive credit card fees, to continue the closure of the golf course, and to allow for houses of worship to conduct parking lot services in accordance to the guidelines set forth by Chief Smith and Chief Bailey. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
It's the exact same vote count, just flip-flop, Christina. That motion passes. Fourth item on the special session agenda is going to be discussion and possible action regarding the approval of purchase of two 60-horsepower VFD motors and motor adapter assembly at Hancock Park Golf Course.
Mayor, Council, this is a discussion and approval of an emergency purchase of two motors that operate our irrigation system. I believe it was the 16th of March we were having some problems with them prior to that, small problems. We knew one of them was fixing to go out. Well, it went out. The other one was limping on one leg. Some bearings were going out on it. Anyway, they both went out. So to purchase the two motors, they're 60-horse variable frequency drive motors. The cost for each one of them were $5,753.48 apiece. The adapters, which that adapts the motors, the pump to the motor, it's in between the motor and the pump, replace those, and the seal kits and the labor, a grand total of $16,504.96. As you know, these things run during the peak season. They run 7 days a week, eight hours a day. When it's not the peak season, they run 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours at night, 2 to 3, 3 to 5 days a week, depending on the weather. Hardest working piece of machinery we have at the golf course there. These were about 7 years old, and the lifespan on them, according to the pump people, were 7 to 9 years. So anyway, I'm just requesting approval to purchase these two motors.
You don't anticipate any delay in receiving the motors based on the situation currently?
No.
Okay. Have a motion?
Make a recommend motion to approval. Approve.
Can I get a second?
Second.
A motion from Ms. Keeney, a second from Ms. Monroe.
No, that was Toops.
Oh, Toops. Well, I apologize. It'd be easier if I could see everybody. But All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Thank you, Van. Have a motion to adjourn special session?
Motion. So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.